Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Actually, a couple of people said, you know, it's fine to say that once, maybe twice during the show, but please do not keep doing it because it's really obnoxious. So I'm going to try and stop doing that. So, Model Y, I'm still trying to metabolize it. We're going to be metabolizing it for the next year or so. But I wanted to clip in here to Elon Daily as a bonus, as an extra, as a weekend thing, as a situation, what Elon talked about at the event. So many of you have watched the event on YouTube, watched it live, but some of you are pure audiophiles because of work or whatever situation you are dealing with. So I'm putting in the audio from Elon and the event. And it's interesting, as I listen to it, as I watch it again, he's dropping some pearls that we haven't talked about yet, and we're going to get to next week on Elon Daily. A lot of implications for a lot of the stuff he's saying. But it's really interesting, you know, watching him present this stuff is how awkward he is, how... what's the word I want to use? Like, I went to med school with so many people like Elon. People so ridiculously smart, so awkward in their bodies, so awkward in their social skills, yet true geniuses that went on in my career and changed medicine and education and did truly remarkable things. And it's hard to be a true genius and be like socially perfect. And I'm watching Elon and I'm like seeing some of the people that I went through med school with, like, how can you possibly remember that? How did you diagnose that? How did you do that thing? It's because your brain is functioning at this higher level. And yet the ability to speak to a group is very awkward. And I see that so much in Elon now. This guy's a gem. He's difficult. We want him off the Twitter. We need to like control him. But what he's trying to achieve here, what he is achieving here, an acceleration of getting the planet to renewable energy, is remarkable. And I think on Elon Daily and on Talking Tesla, we need to keep coming back to that. This vessel may not be perfect, but this vessel in Elon Musk is doing an incredible, remarkable job. So listen to the audio, listen to what he has to say, and pass it out. I think, like me, the reality distortion field is real, but... he dropped a lot of extra pearls that we're going to dive deeper into in coming weeks on Talking Tesla and Elon Daily. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, here it is, Model Y reveal.
Like the shoes?
Yes. Yeah. well, everyone, welcome to the Tesla Design Studio, where we've held many product unveilings before. Hope you guys all have a really great time tonight. I think I've never seen so many cameras in my entire life. This is cameras everywhere. So we're going to start off by just talking a bit about how did we get here. You know, what are the things that have led to this day? What are the cars that, like? How did Tesla start out? How did we, you know, where were we 10, 11 years ago? What has happened over that intervening time? You know, because it occurred to me that a lot of people, they only heard about Tesla maybe a year or two ago. And, you know, electric cars are kind of like taken for granted. But there was a time when electric cars seemed very stupid. And it wasn't that long ago. And the idea of creating a car company was stupid, of course, and then making an electric car company was like stupidity squared. And so let's take a look at the first car we ever made, the Tesla Roadster. It's a bit small. It's great. So the crazy thing is, if you go back 11 years today, Tesla had made one car, that car. That's serial number one of Tesla. So That's my car, actually. On February 2008, we'd literally only made one car, that car. And it didn't really work very well, I have to say. It broke down a lot. And it took us another 3 months just to make the second car. And now we've made about 550,000 cars. Yeah. And after the Roadster, essentially what happened with the Roadster is we said, okay, we want to make a car, we want to really break the mold about how do people think about electric cars. To think about electric cars as being slow and ugly and poor performance, so we want to have a sports car, a car that is fast, looks good, sexy, that's right. Ha ha, ha ha, you took the words out of my mouth. Exactly. Sexier. Mm. That's right. So the Roadster, the reason we did a sports car is we wanted to create a car that would break the mold for electric vehicles, and that would be sexy and fast and long range, and that's why we did the Roadster. People say that you won't be able to make the you won't be able to make a car with those specifications, and if you do, nobody will buy it. So we had to prove those two things wrong. And then after we made the Roadster, they said, okay, sure, you can make some toy sports car, but you can't make a sedan. There's no way you could compete with the luxury sedans that are gasoline, because they're the best. And there's no way you could make an electric car that's like that. So we did. Model S. Exactly. So noisy. Where are all the fumes? Where's the exhaust pipe? Where do you put the gasoline? Yeah. So we actually started designing that car in the Rocket Factory. So we didn't have a design studio. But we took a little corner of the Rocket Factory and Franz joined. And we just, with a tiny crew in a corner of the Rocket Factory, we designed that car. I think that car was really important because it was competing against the best of the gasoline cars. So if you can make an electric car that can beat the best of the gasoline cars, that's just it's a very powerful statement to prove that you can go electric. So then, working on from the Model S. Which, by the way, in terms of where the name comes from, actually, I like calling things what they are. So Roadster is called Roadster because it's a Roadster. There is no good word for sedan. So we couldn't call it the sedan. It wouldn't work. Or saloon. There's just literally no word. So the Model S stands for sedan. And this is how out of touch I was. I actually didn't realize at the time that Model S also means models. and then I had at one point a license plate that said Model S 2, because it was the second production Model S. And it was and as I was walking away from my car, I said, wow, what a jerk. His license plate says Models 2? Yeah, okay. Better not have that license plate. So, but then going from the Model S, we said, okay, we want to make the best SUV in the world. We want to do something. We kind of got carried away actually with the Model X. Let's have practically every technology and whiz bang thing we could possibly think of. The Model X is as a car, it's a Fabergé egg meets a spaceship. It was insanely difficult, but it is an amazing vehicle. Let's bring it out. Cool. Yeah. You can see a certain position forming, maybe. So the Model X, like I said, it really feels like a Fabergé egg spaceship. It's X for crossover SUV. But then after we had the Model S and Model X, I thought it'd be pretty funny if we had the Model E. But then Ford threatened to sue us. Ford killed sex. But I said, what if we call it the Model 3? Because that's completely different from me. They said, that's fine. So we have the Model 3. Let's bring out Model 3. That's right, exactly. Exactly, smart summon with a person. So we made the original Roadster, the Model S, the Model X, the Model 3, and then we also then made the new generation Roadster, which we'll bring in. Sweet. Hey, sure.
Yeah, money!
So, here we have the original Roadster, the new Roadster. Yeah. And then, hey, how's it going? And then the Semi. The Tesla Semi drove here nonstop all the way from the Bay Area. So that Tesla Semi, a 500-mile range electric Semi. I learned to actually only after naming the thing that Semi has two meanings. It's a semi-sexy. So we're really excited about bringing those products to market. So that's sort of talking about our products. But then the factories are as much the product, if not more, than the vehicles themselves. In fact, I really think the difficulty and value of manufacturing is underappreciated. It's insanely difficult. It's like relatively easy to make a prototype and extremely difficult to mass manufacture that prototype or to mass manufacture a vehicle reliably and at scale. Even for rockets, I'd say it's probably a factor of 10 harder to design the manufacturing system for a rocket than to design the rocket. And for cars, I'd say it's maybe 100 times harder to design the manufacturing system than to design the vehicle itself. That's what the free market. I don't mean to have it in black and white. It's like it's not so long ago. They didn't even have color cameras back then. It was 2010. But it was very bleak. It's like essentially when we acquired the Fremont factory, which used to be called NUMMI, people sort of thought, oh, you've got a car factory. Now, if you have a car, they sort of think, if you have a car factory, you can just make any car. It's like, no, that's like saying you've got a box. And that box can have anything you want in it. No, only if you make the thing in the box. Although we did get get a very good deal on the NUMMI factory, Toyota and General Motors actually took all of the good equipment out, and anything that was like so useless it wasn't even worth the scrap was left. So it literally looked like that, but in color. and it took an enormous amount of effort by a very talented team to actually turn essentially what looked like a derelict warehouse into a working car factory.
Yeah.
So, and in fact, like today, the Fremont factory, which is an enormous building, I think it's like the second or third biggest building in the world by footprint, is so dense, so densely packed with people and robots. Well, this picture has like robots, but there's 20,000 people that work at the Fremont factory across four or five shifts. So it's really a massive amount of people and robots. So it's like this giant cybernetic collective. So that was way harder than making the car, by far. I mean, it's worth noting, like the last time, at least in the U.S., the last time any car company achieved mass manufacturing was about 100 years ago. That is the last time, and then Tesla. It's literally that crazy. So the issue is definitely not coming up with a car design. It is absolutely all about building the production system. You want to have a good product to build, but that's basically the easy part. Then the factory is the hard part. Then the challenge is like, okay, if we create a car factory, where the heck are the batteries and electric motors and power electronics going to come from? And that's where we need to say, okay, we better build something that's capable of 50 gigawatt hours at least of cell output, which at the time when we proposed the Gigafactory, I believe like total global output of lithium-ion batteries for all purposes, phones, laptops, silly, you know, cars, anything, was about 30 gigawatt hours. So we're like, okay, well, just do the basic math. We need 50 gigawatt hours. So we better have a real big factory, or there's no way. So, we were going to build it in California, but like, it would have taken 2 years just to get the permits. We built the Gigafactory in the amount of time it would have taken to get the permits in California. That's what the Gigafactory looked like in 2010. It was basically rocks and bushes, okay? And now this is what it looks like now. Yeah. So it's only about a third complete. So this one complete, I think it's about four or five times the size of the Pentagon. So it's kind of difficult to appreciate scale, but although it's really quite tall, it's like 70 feet tall. The volume of it is just mind blowing. It takes 2 hours just to walk around it. So, you know, again, it's work of a tremendously talented team working like crazy, like tens of thousands of people to produce this factory. And today it produces more lithium ion than the rest of the world combined. So, now we're also building a factory in China, which I'm really excited about. As you can see, it's very impressive. Very impressive. A large puddle. When I was there in January, that's what it looked like when we did the groundbreaking ceremony, and this is what it looks like now, 3 months later. But this is what it will look like at the end of the year. So things are moving fast, this will actually be, once it's complete, the equivalent of our Fremont car factory plus our Nevada battery gigafactory combined. Yeah, so it's integrating the two, which kind of makes sense. So we're really excited about this. We're a great team in China, and this is going to be really important for making affordable versions of the Model 3 and Model Y for the greater China market. And then, besides cars, we have some other things. So, the solar roof and power wall. So this is definitely going to be the year of the solar roof and power wall. Because of extreme challenges with the Model 3 production, we have to basically allocate all resources to Model 3 production because otherwise we're going to die. And so basically, it was pretty tight, I have to say. That was a hard one. I would say like 2018 was probably felt like aging 5 years in one. Honestly, it was really intense. Thank you for supporting Tesla through this difficult period. Thank you. Yeah. Now that Model 3 production is going pretty well, we're going to finally allocate engineering attention to the solar roof as well as the solar retrofit. I'm pretty excited about both the solar tile roof and the solar retrofit and power wall. A part of the reason we couldn't make power walls, we couldn't make enough cells. So we had to allocate cells to the car or to the power wall. I was like, well, we've got to make the cars. So then power wall got cell star, basically. But 2019, so we are now going to ramp it up. And then power pack. So power pack is kind of like our industrial strength battery storage system. We did the biggest battery storage system in the world in Australia. That was really super cool. And then we're doing one that's roughly a gigawatt hour scale in California. So just in Southern California, right nearby, we're building a gigawatt hour scale power pack. And so we expect this to ultimately be really critical for transitioning the world to sustainable energy. Obviously, you have to have sustainable energy production and sustainable energy consumption. So the sustainable energy production, you need the solar panels plus the battery because the sun doesn't shine at night, and then those electric cars, electric vehicles in general. Yeah. The really exciting thing is if you have with solar plus battery plus electric vehicles, we have a fully sustainable future. This is a future you can feel really excited and optimistic about. I think it really matters. Yeah. And then supercharging. So, the first in 2010 we had zero superchargers. So there was no. You couldn't really drive long distances with an electric car in 2010. So it was like, okay, we better have some high power chargers, otherwise it's going to be extremely inconvenient to drive long distances. Built into the Model S was a high voltage DC bypass directly to the pack, so you can just sort of mainline power right into the pack. Nobody was building high power chargers, so like, okay, we better build these high power chargers because nobody's building them. So we went from zero superchargers to building a global network of superchargers. Yeah. Yeah, so. It's pretty nutty. Each one of those is a supercharging site. So supercharging team, Tesla did an incredible job building a global network of superchargers that allow you to travel to a massive section of the world, basically anywhere in North America, almost anywhere in Europe, most places in China, not the Gobi Desert yet, but most places. We'll cover the Gobi Desert. We'll get there. And Saskatchewan, I swear to God, there is... I've specifically asked about the Saskatchewan supercharger, and I'm told it is under construction. So, absolutely, I've asked about it like twice. It's I'm told it's going to be completed soon, and then you will actually be able to drive across Canada. So, yes. Hawaii.
Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan. Actually, we have some great supporters in Kazakhstan. I think we probably... we should have... We will build superchargers in Kazakhstan. There you... You heard it right here. anyway, we're going to build a lot more superchargers. And we have actually a version 3 of the supercharger that we just unveiled. And in fact, yeah. So the superchargers actually started out only at about 75 kilowatts. And now they're at, with version 3, 250 kilowatts. And we think probably can even go a little higher than that. And so if you've got a long-range Model 3, it's capable of charging at about 1,000 miles an hour or 1,600 kilometers an hour. Yeah. So and we have one working in the Bay Area, and then the one here at the Design Studio is also working as of tonight. So yeah. So we're going to be rolling out the version 3 supercharger throughout the world, just gradually upgrading the existing sites as well as adding new sites. So we did slow down the supercharger rollout a little bit because we wanted them to be version 3 instead of version 2. But now that we have version 3 running, and we're going to spool up production, and so you're going to have a radical improvement in supercharging worldwide by sometime next year. Yeah. So in terms of where we are today, we got obviously the S3 and the X. We've made, I think, 550,000 vehicles, something like that. 12 months from now, we will have made about 1 million vehicles. So it's pretty wild to think that 11 years ago today, we had made literally one car, and a year from now, we will have made 1 million. Yeah. I mean, this is a testament to the incredible talent and effort of the people at Tesla. I'll just say thank you to people at Tesla. You guys are incredible. So, yeah, and 4 million tons of CO2 saved. In fact, with the 4 millionth ton, it just ticked over like an hour ago. So the 4 millionth ton just ticked over tonight. Yeah. So, you know, just talking a bit about, like, you know, what were the thoughts back then? What were some of the comments? Let's see. The internet is forever. but this is a mere like taste. It was like I said, it was electric cars were considered extremely impossible and stupid, and in various forms. You're a fraud. Blah. Like okay, you can drive that fraud. okay, and then now things have changed. Yeah.
Thank you.
The goal of Tesla was literally this, is like, to what degree, in fact, you know, when we created it, we're like, okay, the fundamental historic good of Tesla should be measured by the degree to which we accelerate the advent of sustainable energy and transport. And our goal all along has been to try to get the rest of the car industry to go electric. We did a joint venture thing with Toyota and with Mercedes. We open sourced our patents 3 or 4 years ago, made them freely available, and so it's extremely rewarding to see that the rest of the industry is going electric. This is great, great. So, and I was just wondering, like, if where will Tesla be in 10 years? You know? Mars. Exactly. We will be driving a Tesla on Mars. I think we actually could. Okay. Tesla will be on Mars in 10 years. I think it will. I think it will. So after that extended history lesson, what about the actual reason you came? Okay. A missing car. It starts with a Y, ends with a Y, and that's Y in the middle. Bring out the Model Y. All right. The Model Y. So, like the 3, it will be extremely safe. So that you may know the Model 3 has the lowest probability of injury of any car ever tested by the U.S. government. The Model Y, we expect, will have a similar result. 5 stars in every category. With the battery pack low in the floor, it's going to have a very low center of gravity. So this will it has the functionality of an SUV, but it will ride like a sports car. So this thing will be really tight in corners. And we expect it will be the safest mid-sized SUV in the world by far. And at Tesla, we actually always design with safety as the number one goal. People think, okay, performance, sure, but safety first. This is actually by far the most important thing. But it's also going to have incredible performance. So we expect to have 3.5 seconds, 0 to 60. Yeah, good. very low center of gravity, so great handling. It's testing out at a 0.23 drag coefficient, which is extremely good for an SUV. And in terms of range, 300 miles. Yeah. So we expect to have an EPA range of, an actual true usable range of 300 miles. So, yeah. Yeah. From an interior standpoint, it has a panoramic glass roof. And by the way, after I'm done here, you guys will be able to come up and like check out the car. So it's going to have a panoramic glass roof. It like really feels like just like the Model 3. If you're in the car, it just feels like you can see the sky. Seat 7, 66 cubic feet. Obviously, autopilot and all that. As I've said publicly, we expect to be feature complete with self-driving sometime later this year. As we prove out the safety with billions of miles and kilometers, we will, from our standpoint, feel it's like safe enough to not pay attention, and then get the regulatory approval sometime thereafter. But the cool thing is feature complete. Like it'll be able to do basically anything by the end of this year, just with software upgrades, which is pretty cool. So the basically long range one we expect to be about $47,000, and then sometime in 2021 we'll have the sort of standard version, which will have a $39,000 price point. So yeah. No, the 7 seats are optional. Yeah. Do you mean the lift gate? Yes.
I won!
Okay. I mean, you never know. We might do better than this, but it should be at least as good. So I think it's going to be really compelling. I'm confident that it'll be the of any mid-size SUV, it'll be the one you want. I think it'll probably sell. I think we'll probably do more Model Ys than S, X, and 3 combined, most likely. Yeah. So. So there you have the sexy presentation. So, all right. Thank you all for coming. Those of you who are here and those of you who are watching, thank you very much for your support over the years. It's been, a hell of a ride. I love you too. I love you too. We are bringing sexy back quite literally. All right, thank you.
So there it is, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. That was the audio from the reveal event. Having listened to it again, watched it again, there's a number of things I think we need to talk about next week. Just from my point of view, I'm in Australia right now, Port Macquarie, going to fly back to the States early next week. I'm going to try and keep this on the daily. We might do a couple of extras tomorrow. But do us a favor, if you're enjoying this, go on iTunes, leave us a rating or a review. It's important. It's weird. I hate listening to podcasts and they're like, leave us a rating or a review. But it does help, and I think it's mostly psychological. It's like, okay, people are listening, people are liking it or not liking it. And like, this is an experiment for me. Like, this is an experiment in podcasting, doing this daily thing. It's a lot of work, and there are other daily Tesla podcasts that are really good. So if I'm not adding anything to the sort of the milieu, as it were, happy to stop it. But if we are, if you think it's useful, let's keep it going. For those of you that are listening, and our numbers keep going up all the time, for those of you listening, thank you. But give us some feedback and be honest. You know what? This is for me. It's not my job. It's just sort of a thing that I do for fun. So I think it's important. Give us some real feedback. Herbert out. Talk to you next week from some country. I don't know. It's going to get confusing up in this.